Great is your faithfulness. That's good to be reminded of that and to sing those words. So this morning, as I said, we're picking up on this theme of a new look, a new outlook on life. And I thought this morning we'd have a bit of a quiz to begin with. And so join in at home. And if you're in the building, I ask you to call out, if that's okay. And it's not just for those people at home. So I've got some pictures that we're going to have a look at. It's quite an easy quiz. Okay, it's basically a close-up of an object. You've got to tell me what you think it is, and then we'll see a picture of the object. Okay, and there may be a person as well or two. So there's a mixture of pictures and people. So hopefully this will work. Who can tell me what that is? What do we think that is? Maureen? It's a shell. You think it's a shell? Huh? A snail shell? It could be a shell. It's a seashell of some description. It's on our decking, so I'm not quite sure. We got it. We just acquired it. I don't quite even know how we acquired it. So that's the first one. What about this? What do we think that is? Going to give you 5, 4, 3, 2. Oh, is it an alarm clock? Let's check. It is an alarm. Well done, Pam. Excellent. That was the hammer and the bell bit. So the next one, it's a person. It's a person. It's the footballer. Yes. It is. No, that is definitely, you're right. Anybody know that name? Thank you very much. Well done, teamwork. It's like, he's a footballer. It's Marcus Rashford. Yes, and he did the food meals. So that's, thank you for that. Well done. I hope you're doing this at home as well and getting them. This one, what do we think that is? A picture frame? Bit smaller than a picture frame. It's a coin. Yeah, can you be a bit more specific? A two pence. Let's check out if it's a two pence piece. It is. It's a two pence piece. It's the back side of a two pence piece because the other side's got the Queen's head. So, how about that? That's a mascara brush. My daughter took that one. I said, look, I need some photos of things that close up. And so she did. Yes. Picture of a mascara brush. Not mine, obviously. How about that? Socket? Light switch. It is a light switch. How many are you getting at home? Hopefully you're getting them as easy as the people in the room. I think the next one's a person. Oh, no. Is that Fern? It is Fern. It was her nose. There we go. Okay. How about that? Peppa Pig. Yes, that was Peppa Pig. How about that? A remote control. It is a science calculator. So, easy, difficult. I think it depends, because this sort of game has been played for years. I know when I was a child, there used to be shots of like telegraph poles from like the bottom looking up, and it's like, what the heck's that? Or a fork, really close up picture of a fork. It's very much down to what your outlook, what your perception of what you're looking at, isn't it? It's a bit like that. Half empty, half full. It's one of those sort of things, isn't it, where, oh, is it half full? Is it half empty? And it's very much dependent on individuals, isn't it? There are people who say, oh, no, it's half empty. And others will say, no, it's half full. And our character today, I want to look at, well, both the characters in our reading today, I think, have got this, a new outlook on life. Because that is very much an outlook. You know, you either have I see that as half full, or I see it as half empty. And I'm not critiquing either thing. I'm just saying that there is, some people see it one way, some people see it another, which is why I've got a large, that's just for me to drink. That's another, That's a vision experience of it there. So it's, you know, it's an interesting thing, these objects, and you see things. And I go home and have a look, and you think, oh, that would look really different if I got really close up to it. You see these, if you're science, I know some people are into science, you see these things and it's like, what is that? And it's basically a grain of sand that's magnified however many times, isn't it? And it looks really beautiful. And all it is, it's a grain of sand. So these sort of pictures are out there. And people's outlooks can be very different. We're going to have now a time of prayer, which is going to be led by Paul on the video. And then we're going to have our reading, which is going to be performed on video by the Baker family. So we're going to pray together and then hear God's word. So let's do that now. There we go. Prayers by Paul and then the reading dramatized by the Baker family. And I hope it really brought it to life for you. It was when I watched it the first time, I was, that's great. And we have got such talented people in our congregation who are using God's gifts to bless the church. So thank you to Reese and Emma and Gethin and Ebony. It's great what you've done this morning. Thank you for that. So yes, so we're picking up on this idea of a new outlook of life. We're picking up the theme of Jesus, the life changer, and we're finishing our series today. Now, as we look at this passage, we see the main player, that's Saul, have a completely new outlook on life presented to him. Potentially, his view of a glass being half full or half empty being changed. He met Jesus, the life changer. And for those who know the Bible, his life had a complete change. He developed a new outlook on life, and he even became known by a new name, Paul. How amazing to read that before he met Jesus, he was focused on hunting down Christians and bringing them to Jerusalem to be killed. We see that he was there when Stephen, one of the early apostles, was stoned in Acts 8. He was there looking after the coats. So up until he met Jesus on the road, his outlook on life was to eradicate the Christian uprising, the followers of the way. He wanted to get rid of them because they challenged all that he knew. However, after meeting Jesus, his outlook changed. His outlook changed. Saul's life took a U-turn. How many of you have been driving and think, oh, I've missed, and have to do a U-turn? I did that yesterday, didn't I? My wife pointed that out to me in the back of the car. I was with my brother-in-law and we were chatting away, and we'd already said to Sharon, it's all right, we know where we're going, because she sort of said brake a couple of times because I was talking. My wife is lovely and very supportive of my driving, which is great, but she did say, oh, I got told not to say anything, so I didn't, and we missed the turning. So fortunately, we had to go up to a roundabout and back round, and we found the restaurant where we were eating. But we had to do U-turns. Everybody does U-turns. But here we see that Saul, his life, experienced a U-turn. And actually, because of his U-turn, we can stand here today saying, I'm here. Because he came, his U-turn was so that Jesus was able to be reaching the Gentiles. It said that in the reading. Because of that, we can be sitting here today worshipping the risen Christ. I am so pleased for that U-turn. So pleased. And in a moment of that, you know, his outlook changing, he was then blinded, wasn't he? His sight was taken from him. And I don't know what happened in those 3 days. Whether, you know, I would imagine he was, as I said, kneeling and praying, wrestling. But it was in order to see that change. And then there was this another guy, Ananias. Now, he too had his outlook changed, didn't he? Because he was like, you mean what? Saul? He's that bloke who's trying to eradicate you, Lord. He wants to get rid of the followers, not build them up. Why do you want me to go to him? Yet he was faithful and he did what the Lord asked of him. He went into an uncomfortable situation. I don't know how I would have reacted if I'd been praying and God said, right, I want you to go too. He did it. He faithfully did it. And I imagine, you know, to see that response of Saul standing and declaring that I have seen the light, I have seen the way, would have been remarkable. And a relief in his humanity to think, oh, that's useful. I'm not putting my neck on the line and actually it's gone. So what can we learn from this? What can we learn? You see, our lives can take a U-turn too. That's what we can learn. When it comes to seeing people and wondering, will they actually ever come to a place of knowing Christ? Because I know I've got people that I'm praying for. I'm thinking, I don't see that, Lord. I don't see that. I don't see this or this person here who seems to be staunchly against you. But we should take comfort that it is possible. All things, it says in the scriptures, are possible through Christ. So whether you're praying for a loved one, maybe a child, maybe a partner, it's possible that God can reach them. It is possible God can reach their heart. And I want you to this morning to know that and to hold on to that, because some of us will probably have been praying for people for many, many years and will be desperate to see loved ones know Christ for themselves. So please continue to do that. Okay, because it's all you can do is ask God. It's God's responsibility to transform that heart, not yours. All you can do is pray and be an example. It's down to the Holy Spirit, as we see with Paul and Saul. It's because of the Spirit, Saul was transformed. We need to seek to be people, possibly in our spiritual life, who have a half-full mentality rather than a half-empty. Because God causes even the toughest, the most skeptical, the most disillusioned to a place of belief. For it's nothing we do, but everything God does. And that is a relief. That's a relief. It's because of the example of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you have moments in your day when you feel just disillusioned and worn out, take comfort from that it is because of Jesus Christ and what he has done and the power of the Spirit. I was in college 6 years ago, and one of the phrases that somebody used was, Nick, or to all of the students, so I'm going to put my name in there, Nick, you are not the Redeemer. Jesus is. Okay, and that's, I want you to put your name in there, that you are not the Redeemer, Jesus is. Jesus is the life changer. Jesus is the life changer, not Nick Humphreys. Okay? And at home, I'm speaking to you too. Jesus is the one who changes lives. Allow him to use you to do that. This is what we see here. Ananias was allowed Jesus to use him, and he was faithful and obedient in what he did, and his view was changed. Saul met Jesus and was changed. Now, some of us, will experience Jesus in a mighty way. I will just share this briefly. Some of us will have that transforming experience like Saul. It was like, wow. Okay? But others, and I'm one of those, it's a gradual experience. I grew up in church. I grew up in the faith. And so in a way, I just came to know Christ for myself over a period of time. And that is just as valid as, wow. Please know that. Please, as a church, know that your testimony, your own transformation into knowing Jesus is just as valid as the next. You can speak to someone just as much as the next. Don't think, well, I've not got this almighty thing, so I'm not. You can, and you will. Just be obedient. Just allow God to use you. Allow God to use you. Look to have a new outlook on life, especially within your spiritual life. Let's become a church that are definitely looking at a glass half full rather than half empty. Please, because our spiritual glass is not that size, it's that size, or even more, you know, up to the sky. You know, change is difficult. Change is difficult, but not for Jesus, the changer of life. He did the difficult part of hanging on a cross and taking your sin, your mistakes on his shoulders so that you could be redeemed. And if you at home have not done that yet, have not said, Jesus, I want you in my life, then do it today. Because he is the life changer. And as I keep saying, he came so that we might have life and have it in all abundance. John 10:10. Our lives can take a U-turn when we meet Jesus, the life changer. And we know, because I've seen it in this church. I've seen people's lives changed at 80. I've seen people's lives changed at 30. And we've seen it at teenage. Do you know what? Doesn't matter how old you are. You might think I'm too old. You're not. You're not too young. You're not too old. You are changed when Jesus comes into your life. So if you still are waiting for that, ask him. Ask him. Speak to me and I'll journey with you. And I've got people in this church who will journey with you. Because our desire, our passion is to see people's lives changed and changed by Jesus. Not by anything else. Not by good works. Not by walking across the road with people, but by Jesus. Because he's faithful. And we come here every Sunday. I've got these songs because we want to celebrate him. That's why I had that children's song, to celebrate God. That's what we want to be. So next Sunday, when we come together, my hope is that we will celebrate God. We will celebrate God, the life changer. So be encouraged. The life changer is still moving today. As Aslan says in the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, he's still on the move. He's on the move. And we know he's on the move. God is on the move. So be aware that potentially your outlook on life might change. And that might be uncomfortable. It was for Ananias, but he was obedient. And because of that, we here today can say, I love Jesus because of Paul being converted. Just take a moment now and say, God, help me have a spiritual outlook that meets your outlook. Just ask that now as you sit quietly at home or in this building. Father, we thank you that you change all things. And so, Father, we pray now that you would change each one of us. Because, Lord, I need just as much to be changed as the next person. So, Lord, please change us. Change our hearts, our minds, to be more in line with you. Because, Lord, you are the life changer. You are the life giver. And all things are possible for you. So, Lord, we pray now for this church, for this community, for those that we love, for those that we yearn to choose to follow you. We give them to you. And Lord, help us to be willing to change our outlook on life to be more like yours.